This is The Guardian.
Hi, Noor Haidar here, coming to you from Gadigal land. The popular yet controversial social media site Reddit has never made a profit and relies on an army of unpaid moderators to keep order. But last month, the company went public on the New York Stock Exchange at a value of $6.4 billion. In this episode from our global news podcast, Today in Focus, we hear from The Guardian UK's technology editor, Alex Hearn, and Reddit users about how the stock market listing could reshape the future of the platform. Here's host Helen Peard.
During one of the COVID lockdowns, Hussein Kesvani was out of a job and, like most of us, suddenly had to spend almost all of his time at home. He needed something to do.
And so I just suddenly had a lot of time on my hands. And I was looking at like my bookshelf and there were like a few books that just weren't in particularly good shape. And so I just got very curious about like, okay, how can I fix them?
But he'd never thought of himself as a particularly handy person. And really, he had no idea where to start.
And a lot of bookbinding is also just about, it is about construction. So it's about like using like particular kinds of, you know, saws and knives in order to like cut things to very specific proportions.
So he started online, digging through anything he could find on YouTube, just to learn the basics.
But after I had kind of gotten through them, I was interested and learning more kind of refined skills. So these were stuff like, you know, how to do particular quite complicated sewing techniques. There isn't really a lot of material on YouTube to do that. So I just stumbled upon like the Reddit, the subreddit, which was called r/bookbinding, which had all these answers. And they were just, you know, people who were hobbyists and enthusiasts, and some people in those groups were very willing to sort of provide those answers.
Reddit is a huge collection of message boards called subreddits, dedicated to almost any niche you can think of, including bookbinding.
And I think part of what was made it enjoyable was that, oh, you have this community who are just like actually invested in your own growth and development. And that's such a refreshing, it was such a refreshing experience.
Reddit is one of the last mainstream social media platforms that still resembles something of how the internet used to be. It's a place where you can learn to bind books, or never lose at Monopoly, watch viral videos, or even club together to make a stranger a millionaire. Think of it as Facebook's subversive cousin, or Wikipedia's anarchic little brother. But for how much longer?
Social media company Reddit getting ready to make its public debut right here at the New York Stock Exchange.
Reddit recently took the ultimate step towards the mainstream by floating on the New York Stock Exchange, worth an estimated $6.4 billion.
The IPO really actually brings into question, what is the future of Reddit going to be? And by extension, like, what is the future of the internet going to be?
From The Guardian, I'm Helen Pidd. Today in Focus, what is Reddit's real value?
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Alex Hearn, you're the UK technology editor for The Guardian, so you're probably best placed to explain to me, as someone who's a fairly long way from being a Reddit expert, How does it all work?
Reddit is, I mean, in the simplest terms, it's a message board, right? It's this sort of relic from an earlier age of the internet. On a nuts and bolts level, what Reddit is a collection of subreddits or sub-forums that anyone can set up themselves, run themselves, and share usually text or images to spark conversations. And that community is what makes the site unique and treasured by its users.
And could you take us all back almost 20 years to 2005 when Reddit first launched? So this was a time, it was before smartphones, before apps, and social media had only really just become a thing. So how did Reddit get its start?
Originally, Reddit was kind of quite a typical dot-com business. It was founded in 2005 by these two guys, Steve Huffman and Alexis Ohanian.
So Alexis and I were college pals. We lived across a dorm from each other in the first year of school and then all through the rest of our time together. And towards the end of our fourth year, we decided we wanted to start a company together.
This was very much the era of internet innovation when you kind of made something, hoped it got big, and worried about how it would make money down the line. And that definitely was the approach of Reddit.
So it sounds like it was somewhere between a social network and a message board. How was it different to some of the other social media sites that were around at the time?
It's retained a huge culture of anonymity. People rarely post under their real names.
We don't require people to use their real name because fundamentally what I think is important on Reddit is not that people are anonymous or not, it's that they have control over their identity.
What all of that means is that people feel really willing to engage in conversation on Reddit, to have quite revealing discussions, and sometimes to behave in ways that they perhaps wouldn't on other social networks.
And how successful was Reddit?
The way I've always thought of it is that Reddit spread like wildfire among the sort of people who were online around the time it launched, right? You had to be a very particular type of person to spend a lot of time online then. I was a 15-year-old. I very much was that type of person. If you were there, you were probably a nerd. That initial growth was obvious. Within a year of being founded, it had been bought. And it had been bought by Condé Nast, the publisher of print magazines like Wired, like Condé Nast Traveler, a venerable old...
Vanity Fair.
A venerable old media brand had bought it.
And one of the key moments in Reddit's history came in 2008 when users were allowed to create like their own little corners of the internet. And these little corners became known as subreddits. Tell us about subreddits and why that was so important, this development.
So for the first few years of Reddit's history, it was one message board. Everything went into the bucket, was sorted by these upvotes or downvotes. There were the comment threads underneath it, and that was it. Starting these subreddits meant that the site became something that no one person would have the same experience of. If you wanted, you could start a subreddit that was for sharing just good pictures, r/pics. You, if you started it, would be in charge of that. You could block people from posting there. You could delete posts that had been made. You could remove spam. It became your little fiefdom. I think at time of recording, the largest is still r/funny, which is for funny posts. Others are obviously niche.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of high-low as well, right? You can be talking about nuclear Armageddon or sharing a picture of your favourite mug. That's an actual subreddit, isn't it? Mug life.
I've not seen mug life. But yeah, like there are a bunch of subreddits that have rules strongly enforced that require, for instance, you to be a professional historian when you reply and to provide citations and sources for any claim you make.
We've mostly talked about the more wholesome subreddits, but I'm guessing you could also start one on something altogether less savoury.
Absolutely. And there is an awful lot of pornography on Reddit. But there's also things that are really, really bad, or there were. For years, Reddit's policy on illegal content was just that, illegal content. And so things that were just on the right side of legal were allowed. Most notoriously, Reddit had, for a very long time, a subreddit called r/jailbait, dedicated to sharing sexualized but not nude photos of young girls. And this was within the rules of Reddit. And the idea was, if you didn't want to see that content, you didn't have to sign up to the subreddit, and that was that. There was a huge drag-out fight between Reddit's administrators, the owners, and critics on Reddit and on other sites about whether or not that was sufficient, whether Reddit could just put up its hands and go, well, look, we don't like this, but the most important thing is to have a light touch of moderation and let it go and give control of the site to its volunteer moderators.
When it floated on the New York Stock Exchange a few weeks ago, Reddit was valued at $6.4 billion. It's a hefty sum for a website which relies on the free labour of an army of unpaid moderators. So first of all, can you introduce yourself, please?
Now that's an interesting question, because one of the most important elements that have made Reddit as successful as it is the anonymity that's involved. From a moderation perspective, there are a lot of safety issues around keeping your personal life separate from your moderating life. So I'd rather not use a name, to be honest. Is that okay, Helen?
Yeah. I mean, what can we call you?
My username is Pedantichrist.
Amazing. Is there a story behind that name?
Absolutely not.
And tell me, like, what are the joys of Reddit for you?
The joys of Reddit have changed. In the past, it was just a place to find the front page of the internet. I also find it's a really good way of finding information. If you find the right sub for the problem you have, whether it's beekeeping or motorcycles or dog care. And in the early days of the internet, the whole internet was like that. We were sort of a small club. That's changed. And the mischief does exist. And sometimes it's positive, sometimes it's negative. It depends where you're looking. But as a rule of thumb, the positive behaviour outweighs the negative behaviour. And definitely most individual people are positive, looking to have a good time and make the world a better place.
What does Reddit give you on a personal level, maybe that you don't get in your real life community?
It's always there. I have the friendships in my real life, but Reddit's always there. So at night, when I'm going to sleep, when I wake up in the morning, when I'm walking the dogs and in the rain and sitting in a shelter, Reddit's there to chat and do things. What does it give me? I was brought up in a very sort of formal, old-fashioned, almost Victorian manner, you know, boarding school and well-behaved, and I have a military career. I have a very strong sense of duty. I personally get a lot of positive benefit from keeping the most unpleasant elements off the site.
So your role as a moderator, sort of policing Reddit, that's something that brings you satisfaction?
Yes, absolutely. I think policing is a strong word. When someone's arriving on a sub, that sub is not just a free-for-all. If it was, it would be full of 14-year-old boys shouting nice boobs, and that's all that would be happening.
Okay, and tell us which subreddits you moderate.
So I moderate about 25 subs, which is between 75 and 100 million users between them. The biggest individual sub I moderate is Life Pro Tips, which has just over 22.5 million.
Mm. And how many hours a day do you spend moderating?
This is a terrifying question to answer, because almost no constant hours. It's not like I get up in the morning and hit my mod queue. However, I'm online moderating 16 hours a day. That's reactive. If someone sends me a message, I'll respond to it. Actual time that I spend moderating is when I'm commuting. My wife sleeps more hours than I do. So when she's asleep and I'm in bed, not asleep, I moderate. It's probably more like 3 or 4 hours of actual work. The expression I always use is I work a lot of hours, but I don't work very many actual minutes. Okay, here's my screen.
Okay, and looking at your screen now, could you possibly pick an example there, if you can see one that might be interesting?
Yeah, okay, so there's a little video of some people kicking a door down in Australia, and someone has replied and said, black people are the cancer of the earth. Now, that's nice and easy. It's a horrible thing to have written, but from my perspective as a moderator, that's an easy thing to deal with. I'm going to remove that straight away. It can't be on the site. fairly obviously, I'm also going to ban the person.
Mm-hmm.
I'll look at someone who's talking to me, who was banned from a comment that was racist, and they've immediately come back to me. They don't know it's me. They only know it's the mod team. They've said that I'm literally defending a paedophile, that I'm...
Do you get a lot of this, a lot of personal abuse?
I get personal abuse of this type continually, but this isn't too worrying. What's scary is occasionally we get real life abuse. So I've had lots of death threats on Reddit, but I've had credible death threats where we've involved the police, where someone described their public transport route to reach my home, knew the names of my dogs, described how they were going to kill me and my dogs, made a guess at the school that my children were at. They were wrong.
Oh my goodness.
But they were wrong, but it was not a bad guess. And that was because a moderator, not me in fact, a different moderator, had removed a comment. No one had been banned. They'd just written something that was taken down for being off topic.
Wow. And that was their reaction, to basically come and stalk you.
That happens fairly regularly. They're angry, they lash out, and the anonymity leads them to feel safe in doing so.
Coming up, what happened when Reddit tried to clean up its act?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Alex, it sounds like Reddit can be a pretty grim place, but was it actually worse than that in the past?
Yeah, so the rules have been evolved over time, but the most notorious attempt to change it came in 2015. Ellen Powell, the former head of business development at the company, had been made the interim CEO after its CEO Yishan Wang had resigned, and she was the first woman to run the site and came in and decided to tighten up some of the site's policies on censorship.
So she was going to clean it up.
She was going to clean it up. The biggest change she made that lasted was banning revenge porn, and it didn't go down well.
Why is Ellen Powell running this site? If you were going to think about who the worst person you could match with this community would be, I think you would be hard-pressed to find another executive in Silicon Valley who would be the antithesis of what this community would want in a leader.
There was a sufficient mass of users on Reddit who apparently didn't particularly support the freedom to share revenge porn, but did still feel that Reddit needed to be so light touch in its moderation approach that allowing revenge porn to be shared was an unfortunate side effect of that general freedom of speech that the site was founded on.
So they were defending the idea of posting naked pictures of somebody's ex without their consent on Reddit. And they were saying, well, freedom of speech comes first, or?
They were defending the idea of Reddit's owners having little control over what's on the site. That if the site was made by its users, it should be moderated and controlled by its users as well. And that the admins should be shepherds rather than censors.
She's, I guess, in the bucket that most people would say social justice warrior.
She became an icon of attempts to clean up Reddit and a rallying point for people who didn't want it to be cleaned up.
Hundreds of thousands of people have signed a petition to get the CEO of Reddit fired. Now, Ellen Powell...
Powell was forced out just 4 months after the revenge porn change happened.
After facing a tumultuous user revolt over the past week, Reddit CEO Ellen Powell has stepped down. Steve Huffman, a co-founder of Reddit and co-founder of flight and hotel search startup HipMunk, is now stepping up as the CEO to take her place. Reddit has been in somewhat of a meltdown.
So Ellen Powell steps down as CEO, and then Steve Huffman, like who founded the site, he comes back. And what happens next?
Huffman is the only person who can actually embed Powell's reforms. He introduces new policies that do actually ban content like animated child pornography. He introduces the idea of quarantining subreddits that are wildly offensive. And those reforms largely stick. Huffman founded Reddit and was a Redditor. He still posts on the site today, admittedly with big red text, and everyone knows that he's the boss.
So Huffman's back, and then along comes Donald Trump.
Yeah.
I am officially running for president of the United States, and we are going to make our country great again.
And so just after making some really difficult decisions that fundamentally changed the approach of the site to content moderation, Donald Trump fans decide to organize en masse, largely using Reddit. Unfortunately, it basically turns out that a massively online community of Donald Trump's most engaged fans is a cesspit.
You will not replace us! You will not
and the Donald subreddit became embroiled in controversy after controversy after controversy. Most notoriously, its involvement in arranging the Unite the Right protest in Charlottesville.
We begin tonight with that breaking news, a horrific scene in Charlottesville, Virginia, a white nationalist rally that descended into deadly violence and chaos.
Where a woman was killed, widely seen as one of the low marks of Donald Trump's unity with dedicated far-right elements.
Governor declaring a state of emergency, and that mayhem unfolded for hours before President Trump finally weighed in.
But then the part that actually saw Reddit feel forced to ban the site was when it became the home for discussion around Pizzagate.
It started with what turned out to be a bogus news story suggesting that Bill and Hillary Clinton were running a sex ring out of a Washington, D.C. pizza parlor.
This conspiracy theory that there was a vast network of Hollywood and political pedophiles who all met in a pizza parlor in Washington, D.C.
The next day, the bogus claim was picked up by a website called YourNewsWire.com, message boards like 4chan and Reddit.
That escalate until someone actually went down there with an assault rifle to free the children they believed were kept captive in the basement.
He allegedly pointed the gun in the direction of an employee and fired the weapon inside the restaurant.
Reddit clearly saw the writing on the wall there and realized that even if a community is quarantined, even if a community isn't allowed to spill out and harm other communities on the site, even if the moderators of the community believe that they're moderating based on what their readers want, you can still harm the world by hosting this stuff. Hosting the Donald any longer could have resulted in Reddit being pretty directly implicated in deaths.
So Huffman had begun to take back control of his creation by banning the most toxic subreddits, but the site was still not making a profit. So he decided to monetize Reddit's content by charging people if they wanted to access the site via external apps and tools, something that a lot of moderators relied on.
A few days ago, we witnessed an uprising on the same scale as the American Revolution. It was a huge movement on Reddit.
So this was essentially the moderators going on strike.
Yeah, so this is the interesting thing about Reddit. The volunteer moderators are tremendously important.
They're a really important stakeholder, right? And you have to treat them as if they're your board of directors.
In the end, subreddits with hundreds of millions combined followers went dark.
Reddit is dying.
Man, this has been a lot of fun. It is an absolute dumpster fire with...
You know, in a way, this is a strike, but unlike a normal strike, none of these people were paid.
Without them,
Reddit
is nothing.
There was no Reddit, yeah. And there was no great pressure. If you were a volunteer moderator whose job would be made... whose volunteer task would be made much, much harder, There was no reason to back down, even if the company wasn't moving. And so Huffman again reached in. They began booting off moderators who'd gone private for too long. There was then a fun little game of cat and mouse where some other moderators then decided that they wouldn't go on strike anymore. They would simply enforce impossible rules or useless rules. I think one subreddit changed the rules so the only posts that would be approved were those that had a photo of John Oliver in them. The protest has now died down, and it did die down rather unsatisfactorily. Eventually, enough moderators were replaced. It became clear that Reddit wasn't going to budge. The company sort of said sorry for imposing the changes, but not sorry for the changes themselves, and it moved forward. It did give Reddit a wake-up call that the moderators are important and can damage the site.
Reddit getting closer to making its public market debut on the New York Stock Exchange, a social media company targeting a valuation close to $6.5 billion.
So talk me through this decision from Reddit to list itself on the stock exchange.
The simple version is they finally needed some money. Reddit faced this quandary, right? Either it had to accept being a mid-sized site, or it had to go public and commit to growth and try and be in the big leagues, play alongside, if not Facebook itself, at least kind of square up against Elon Musk's X.com. But yeah, Reddit wants to be in those leagues, and the only way of doing that in the current market is to go public.
And do you think by going public, by floating on the stock market, it's going to put pressure on Reddit's leaders to like fundamentally change their like quite unusual relationship with their moderators and the power that moderators have previously had?
They've certainly acknowledged that as a risk. The IPO has to list all of the things that could harm Reddit's valuation in the future. And one of the things they say is that a moderator revolt could hurt them, that their value as a company and as a website relies on the unpaid workers who want to run their communities continuing to want to do that. They actually included a sweetener in the IPO, a certain proportion of shares that were earmarked for longtime Reddit users and sold at a discount to them if they wanted to invest in it. They are trying to make good, but I think there is a real issue that it feels fine to do volunteered labor for Reddit when it's a loss-making private company, when it's still a niche site as niches go. But Reddit doesn't want to be a niche site. Reddit, once it goes public, is all but legally bound to try and become the size of Facebook if it can, to try and beat TikTok for the eyes of the youth, to try and dominate the internet. And if it fails, it fails. But if it succeeds, that will open up new problems. And one of those problems will be that suddenly becoming a volunteer moderator for a massively profitable, globe-spanning empire feels a bit weirder than doing it for the fun site where you hang out with your friends.
Hussein, as a keen user of Reddit, particularly its bookbinding community, are you worried that by floating on the stock exchange, Reddit could somehow turn rubbish?
I don't know if it just being on the stock exchange will sort of make it rubbish in and of itself. I'm not necessarily worried about that, but I think I don't, you know, again, I'm trying not to romanticize it too much, but I do think that like it is on Reddit where I find like really interesting stuff still, and it is on Reddit where like every skill that I have learned recently has sort of kind of emerged partly from there. You know, I learned how to sort of fix parts of my old car using like asking questions on Reddit. You know, I learned like bits of programming. I kind of get recipes from there. It is like this community where, you know, the insight that I get from Reddit users kind of really benefits me in my real life in a way that like other platforms don't. And so it's not without its problems for sure, but it does feel to me like it's one of the last places where like that kind of like a vibrant and active community that does at least see some value in participation still exists. And I do worry, again, that, like, you know, with the broader question about the IPO, that, like, as more big money sort of seizes platforms, the inevitable effect of it is that trickles down to users. And so, you know, if a platform is under more pressure to kind of prove that it is monetarily viable, that pressure will always be placed on users to, like, you know, prove themselves to be monetarily viable. And I think it'd be a real tragedy to see Reddit become a place where, instead of having, like, you know, a vibrant community that is invested in helping people or invested in sort of, like, at least allowing people to enjoy the communities that they find themselves in, but you end up in a place where, you know, you can go into a subreddit and, like, you're never quite sure who is actually trying to help you and who is just trying to get you to, like, you know, give them money to sort of, you know, to participate in this, like, broader change of, like, where users become commercial entities. And I think that's where my personal fears are, not just for Reddit, but just for the future of the internet generally.
That was Hussein Kesvani. He wrote an opinion piece about the Reddit IPO called First It Was Facebook, Then Twitter. Is Reddit About to Become Rubbish Too? Which you can find at theguardian.com. Thanks to The Guardian's UK technology editor, Alex Hearn. Check out his weekly newsletter, TechScape. And thanks also to Pedantic Christ, the mysterious Reddit moderator. This episode was produced by Thomas Glasser and Alex Atak. Presented by me, Helen Pidd. I'll be with you for the next few months, in for Nasheen while she's on maternity leave. The executive producer was Phil Maynard. Sound design was by Rudy Zagadlo. We'll be back tomorrow.
This is The Guardian.